expertise and not lose to them.
We have 7 business court judges.
Yeah, and it also applies in cases that are domestic related to alimony, child support, parent time, custody orders, unless the judge who's being assigned to the case has never made any decision in the case. So if you file a petition to modify, for instance, and a judge gets assigned, and it's the judge that had it before, then they can't exercise that right at the time that the jurisdiction of the court is kind of reinvigorated to have a petition to modify. That's excluded as well.
Remind me about probate.
Volunteer some to go away.
Okay, I'm sensitive to time. I've been talking now for well over 25 minutes or so, so I can stop at any point. I can also answer any other questions you have. I will say this, expungement is a topic of conversation in a number of bills. I think there's 5 bills that are touch on expungement. None of them have passed still. There is a new type of expungement that's being explored as an incentive for participation in drug court, which is that if you successfully complete a problem solving court, I say drug court, but a problem solving court, you can receive an immediate and automatic, well, not automatic, you can receive an immediate expungement of any of the charges that were the subject of your drug court or mental health court participation. And you don't have to get a certificate of eligibility from BCI. You don't have to go through a petition process. The judge, as an incentive for participation in the court, say, I'm immediately going to expunge these. And it's a may, so the judge doesn't have to.
Good.
And then there's going to be some big recodifications. You may have been aware from the emails I've sent, but the criminal code recodification process project will continue. They're doing the chapter 8, so the offenses against the administration of government sections this year. They're also doing a whole scale revamp of the estate planning statutes. So those are all going to get renumbered, and we'll have to be looking around for where those have ended up. I'll try and find a crosswalk and make it available to you as judges. And then the domestic relations recodification, moving all the stuff out of Title 30 and into a new Title 81, I believe. So we're going to have to be looking around for things that we know where to find there as well. So we have that to look forward to. And then justice court reform, really quickly, there are 2 pieces of legislation. One is the extension of the task force that's looking at that legislatively. And that passed out of committee on Friday evening, as did House Joint Resolution 1, which is the legislature's expression of, I guess, support. It's a non-binding resolution, but just that they want to move forward with justice court reform and commence with some sort of meaningful change in the next legislative session, starting with what they're calling a pilot program. I really don't like the idea of a pilot. If we're doing this, we're doing this, and we're not going to test it a little and see. But that's kind of the way it sounds in a rural and an urban county. And those have yet to be decided which counties. Everything is still up in the air, but the legislature is expressing support if they pass this resolution. So,
from what you've been involved with, has the letter from the county attorneys had any effect on that process?
Yeah, so interesting. So the County Attorneys Association in the state, they put together a letter saying, well, we don't really love what we're seeing in terms of this approach to justice court reform. We can keep our justice courts and make other meaningful changes that will accomplish much of the justice court reform purpose with a way less impact. That letter was distributed, as I understand it, but then when this joint resolution was in committee on Friday evening, no county attorneys got up to testify against it. In fact, nobody testified. It just passed out of committee with support from the committee. So I'm not sure. I thought somebody would show up and testify against it. So that's where things stand currently. Any questions? Anything I can be doing for all of you?
We do this. Ron, if you could follow up Michael's report on the meeting you just had. And then once we do that, we'll get the judge hear us, have our break, come back and hear the rest of your administrator's report, Ron.
Can I say one other thing before I shut up?
Yes.
I just really want to thank Justice Peterson and Judge Lowe and Judge Evershed and Judge Brower for so much time that they've taken since before the session started. We had our first meeting January 5th, and they've met every Friday for, other than the most recent meeting, for at least 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and been available to me in so many different ways. It's just a big lift and a big time commitment on their part. And I just really appreciate them as council members taking that on and being so responsive. And wanted to thank them publicly, so.
And ditto that thank you to Michael. He does a great job for us up there. And I do want to thank all of the other members of the liaison committee there. I think we make a good team. We cover all the bases with justice, juvenile, district, appellate, and thank you so much to the members of the team.
Thank you, Chief. As has been mentioned, the Executive Appropriations Committee met on Friday evening of last week. And in, I think about 17 minutes, approved almost all of the state's budget. There were a number of fairly critical items that were excluded from the judiciary's budget. So I actually have pretty considerable concerns about our budget moving forward. That's where I was at the beginning of this meeting. I was meeting with the chairs of the Executive Appropriations Committee. So there's a member of the Senate who is the Senate chair of that committee. And then there are two members of the House who are the chair and vice chair of that same committee. And all three were in this meeting where I went to advocate for what I'm now calling our critical needs. These are the unfunded things that I believe are critical. And it was not as nice of a meeting as I've been having before all throughout the session. At one point, I did tell them, making sure there are no media on this. I told them that I don't feel like we're being treated as a co-equal branch of government. And I reminded them that we are not a division of something or a department of something or a non-governmental entity walking off the street and asking for a request for appropriation, that we are an entire branch of government. And though our functions are different, they are still mandated by the Constitution, and we can't do our job without adequate funding. One of the three individuals was not happy with that. One was fine with it, and one was actually quite supportive of us, saying, "Don't give up on us, don't give up on us, we won't give up on you." When I get to my full report, I can give you some more details about numbers and things, because that's all that I had for my administrator's report today, was to talk about budget things. So there is time left in the session for additional changes to be made, and this always happens after Executive Appropriations Committee meets and introduces the budget for the first time. There are always additional adjustments to be made. I think that will happen. I think that we will have some additional items funded. Ongoing money is really hard to find this session, so we'll have to see how our effort to get additional judicial officers works out. There's about almost $1 billion of one-time fee that has already been allocated. I felt that we didn't get enough of that $1 billion. We received what's equivalent to about 0.21% of the $1 billion. And I told them they could do better than 0.21%. So that's the primer and the introduction. That gave you more details.
Thank you, Ron. And address questions during his administrator's report. For now, we'll turn to Judge Harris. If you join us, Judge Harris.
I'm the one standing between you and a break. Be quick. It's been a relatively uneventful year with the Court Commissioner Conduct Committee. We had only 9 complaints filed in 2023. As you can see from hopefully the exhibit that's been passed around, all 9 of those ended up being chair dismissals. I was able to determine that they could be dismissed without convening the full committee. That number is down from the year past. Really not a whole lot else to report. So I'm happy to field any questions. There's some additional information that I've provided aside from the public exhibit. Happy to field any questions about that if any of you have any.
Thanks for your service on that.
Right time. Thank you.
Stay 10 minutes.
Being back on record, I'll make a motion that we approve the applications for senior judge.
Second. Nay votes? Motion carries.
Seeing all of your eager faces, I'll also make a motion that you approve the rules under item 14 for final approval.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Yes.
My question is in rule 3-306.04 on line 70, if there was a way to have it read, a court employee may assist the court in giving a new date if an assigned interpreter does not appear. And so limiting what they could do for their interpretation. Because my only issue is there are times when it's not as bad as what it has been, but there are times where we do not have an interpreter. And sometimes I can say in juvenile court, sometimes it is the parent as well as the child speak the other language. And so it's not even like the child can interpret for the parent to give the new date or to even understand what's happening. And so we use a stipend employee to assist us in giving a new date to them. So I just open that up for discussion.
Judge Gregorask.
I have a question. If we look under subsection 1E, it says no interpreter is needed for a direct verbal exchange between the person and court staff if the court staff can fluently speak the language understood by the person and the state court employee is acting within the guidelines established in the human resources policies and procedures. I don't know what those, do we still have part here? No. Would that allow, that would definitely allow the staff to tell them about the new date. Wouldn't necessarily be on the record. And maybe you would make a record and say, hey, no interpreters come. I'm going to direct a court staff that speaks this language to tell them. But wouldn't under that subsection 1E, can't they have that conversation, the court staff, tell the person that there's going to be a new date?
Back to you. They could ask them, are you available?
No, you would just be telling them they were resetting this.
Then the problem might occur, though, if they ask a question back to your clerk, assuming it's your clerk, and your clerk turns to you.
I understand. I think the only way you could, well, I don't know. I mean, they can have a verbal exchange with them. But I don't know, Kisa, what do you think?
Can I just say, in my court, one of my courts, we get people regularly who show up for a first appearance, and I don't have an interpreter scheduled. And it's left to me stating in court what we're doing and then asking the staff to contact them or send them notice and arrange an interpreter. And that's not like a back and forth communication between me and the staff, and then the staff and them is not happening in court.
Well, that definitely wouldn't be a problem. I guess what Beth is talking about is, do we let a person that works for the courts interpret to talk about a new date? And are we talking about on the record is what we're talking about in court? Or, I mean, right. Certainly you can get on the bench and say, hey, we didn't get an interpreter. I'm resetting this. I'm going to have my staff communicate the best they can and tell them when the new date is.
Date is.
We'll send out notice.
But I mean, they have a stipend.
Which you're not doing that anyway.
I get the stipend part is the part I don't understand. But the stipend is they get paid fluent because they also speak another language.
And they do it because of this, because there's nothing that prohibits them from having direct communication exchange. I'm not saying I'm against what Beth is proposing either. I don't know.
My experience is a lot of the bigger courts, that happens all the time, will have a mass arraignment calendar and people are just walking in. There's people that speak Spanish and.
Yo hablo español.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a free for all. This discussion makes me, I mean, I've had a million times where someone says, we don't need an interpreter. We just need a new date. And I mean, I've got 200 cases. I'm just giving them a new date. I'm not going to worry about it.
But wouldn't you feel worse if you have an employee of the court?
I feel like that would be a double bonus that I was able to communicate with them in a language. I mean, usually it's, doesn't this happen to you? Like, that you just talk to the attorneys. Like, no one.
All the time.
The time.
The time.
I mean, if someone's able to communicate in a language that someone understands, it's, I don't really, I don't know. I guess I should worry about it more. But.
Especially on our arraignment calendars, nobody's represented by an attorney. They're pro se. We don't know them before they come in.
Did you understand? Yes.
If I don't have an employee come in and talk to them, they're sitting there wondering. Yeah. Well,
that's even better. I mean, if I could do that, I would.
What we're doing though is we're taking, the proposal is to take out that subsection 2, which says court employees and as interpreters.
Well, if we think it's covered under the direct verbal exchange, then I'm okay.
I mean, what we're taking out doesn't cover it either, right?
Well, I think lines 90 through 92 would cover, I think, what Judge Lindsay's talking about.
Courtney is an employee as a conditionally approved interpreter under 1D.
So that's our stipend people.
Wages and benefits of employees grade.
Which would have to be amended to 1E.
Yeah.
If it were left in.
1C.
1C. I mean, we could also take some from new 1C Romanet 3 to say that they can interpret, I mean, just make it really limited.
What if we did this for today's purposes? We approve what we have. Well, I don't know, Kisa, you tell me. I think Beth raises a good issue. I think it's one that we should talk about on policy and planning and see how to address it.
And I'm fine with that. I think we have stipend staff that receive a stipend throughout the entire state that are called on a regular basis. And I don't want them to say, Judge, under the new rule, I can't give them a date because we're on the record. It's a legal proceeding at this time.
And I don't, would it complicate things, Kisa, if we, because we've had a motion on an expedited basis to have these effective tomorrow. If we took this issue back and addressed it with policy and planning and we discussed whether that direct communication, whether we could tinker with that a little bit and say that may be the place to do it, because they're already having direct communication, the staff is, and we could put in a limited exception to say, to just provide a new date on the record or, you know, something like that.
So approve these on an expedited basis and then go back and amend it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm asking. Is that worse or do you want us to try to muddle through it today?
Well, I think you could. I think another option would be to what used to be 2C, you could keep in. So take 2A and 2B out. And you would keep 2C, and you have to change the, of course, the paragraph references, but I think you just need that one sentence. A court may use an employee as a conditionally approved interpreter under what would be 1C, if you're comfortable with that.
Well, I'm fine if policy and planning wants to talk about it further, that we approve these now. And then
because we've got a motion on the table, if we approve them now and then policy and planning looks at that minor tweak if we need it.
So we'll go out for public comment after, right? Expedited approval, they'll go out for public comment and back to policy and planning. I just don't know in that time frame, Judge Lindsley, if that's going to, you know, cause you issues with employees coming in to fix, to handle your scheduling, rescheduling. But I think direct verbal exchange would probably cover it, as Judge Gardner said. But I think it would be a pretty easy fix today if we just kept 2C. I'll fix.
2C actually looks pretty good, and we could just number it so that it's numbered correctly with the way the rule reads, because that lets you on a conditional basis conditionally approve an interpreter to make some exchange in court.
I just hope it's, I mean, I would assume judges aren't doing that for a substantive proceeding.
But I think when they're being used, it's just that simply getting a new date and explaining to someone why we don't have an interpreter.
It's a little more complicated though when you do conditionally approve them, because you have to go through the rule, and but you know, you could do it. It is definitely a lengthier process to conditionally approve. And if we put it under the direct communication to just say, hey, it's okay, they can just communicate a new date to them, you wouldn't have to conditionally approve that employee every time. For every matter that they were doing that, but you could conditionally approve them. You have to go through the rule and make those specific findings on the record.
So I like the suggestion that we approve the changes today, send them out for public comment, then we can take up the adjustment that we're talking about in our next meeting, which happens to be Friday, and address that issue that Judge Lindsley brought up.
And if we have an issue arise, we'll figure a workaround, Keisha.
So the motion stands.
It stands.
Chief. Have a second?
Yeah, it's already been seconded.
Any further discussion? Any nay votes? The motion carries. Where does that bring us?
We're sort of done.
Thanks for old business, new business wants, and want to make sure that's a good thing.
Just a reminder that the management committee is meeting when this meeting ends.
If there's nothing else, thank you, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
We do have lunch. Next room.
About what's at the other meeting? See if it's better. Report back.